Chapter 11. The Force. It's a well-known fact amongst those people who have an understanding of facts that the sound of water splashing onto rocks in the middle of a forest normally means that there is a waterfall nearby. It is also a well-known fact amongst those aforementioned smarty pants that waterfalls normally have names. It is also a fact, though not well-known, that some parts of the country call them waterfalls, while others just call them falls. Some parts of the country call them forces, and it just so happened that the five fairies had heard the splashing sound of the Tripmore Force. "We're approaching the Tripmore Force," said Emily. Emily knew facts, but resented being called smarty pants. "How do you know?" asked Amber. Emily pointed to a short wooden sign which had the words "Tripmore Force" carved into it, and an arrow pointing in the general direction of the splashing sound. Amber blushed, although it was quite hard to tell, bearing in mind she was a slightly orange tinge. "Time for a rest?" asked Kyle. "Definitely," answered Scarlet, before adding that she thought that the next leg of their journey would require them to follow the river's route out of the forest. The fairies found themselves a safe area near the force, where they sat for a while, listening to the sound of the water crashing into the pool below. A spray of water was appearing above the pool, and many rainbows were forming as the sunlight bounced its way through the forest leaves. "Is it true that there is a pot of gold at the end of rainbows?" asked Kyle. Kyle had noticed the rainbows, and he was excited at the prospect of increasing his personal wealth from the £12.47 he had managed to accumulate by finding loose change sitting around the house. "You are silly, aren't you?" replied Violet. "Do all you human types believe in that kind of nonsense?" asked Amber. It was Kyle's turn to blush. "So there is no gold then?" said Kyle despondently. "No leprechauns?" Scarlet felt bad that Kyle was disappointed and decided to help ease his pain. "There are no pots of gold under these rainbows. Rainbows must be fully formed, and they must touch the ground at both ends for there to be a chance that a pot of gold could be found at one of the ends. However, rainbows don't last very long, and there's precious little chance of getting to the end of a rainbow before it disappears." Kyle felt slightly better as they all headed along the river and out of the forest. It wasn't long before they came to the far edge of the forest, where the map suggested a large field should be present. There was indeed a large field, but it was filled with tents. Row after row of variously coloured tents covered the field for as far as the fairy eyes could see. "What's going on here?" asked Scarlet. "Tripmore Music Festival," replied Emily. "I'd forgotten that it was on." "Well, we need to get to the other side of the field. Let's make a move." The fairies skimmed over the tops of the tents, but they came to an abrupt halt as they saw many thousands of people crowded around a stage. Upon the stage, there were three men waving wildly at the crowd below. One sat at the back of the stage behind a set of drums. Another stood to one side holding a bass guitar, while the third stood centre stage with a much shorter electric guitar. The bass drum was coloured black, with large white letters which read, "The Geckos." "Look who it is. Can we stay and listen?" asked Kyle. "They are the best. This is brilliant. Imagine, we have free tickets to see the geckos." Just then, a blast of sound boomed out of the 60-foot speakers, and the shockwave sent the fairies spinning backwards. Once they had steadied themselves, Kyle conceded that maybe hanging around wasn't such a great idea. Hanging around had suddenly become less of an option as giant bubbles started appearing in the air from a massive bubble-making machine. The crowd below were going wild and started waving lighters in the air. Naked flames and giant bubbles may have seemed like fun to those enjoying the screaming noise coming from the geckos, but the five fairies could only see danger. They navigated their way through the bubbles and beyond the stage, landing on top of a gecko's tour bus. "My ears are hurting," said Scarlet. "What was that noise?" "Brilliant, wasn't it?" replied Emily. "Absolutely brilliant, but I have to agree that it did seem very noisy." "Brilliant? You mean you like that noise?" asked Violet. "Oh yes, they're the next big thing," answered Emily. Emily and Kyle were big geckos fans, with every track they had released blasting out of their headphones constantly. They knew all the words and could regularly be found in one or other's bedroom playing air guitar while the geckos thundered throughout the house. Kyle's head started bobbing in time to the now distant beat, and his left hand naturally started wriggling at the neck end of his imaginary guitar. "Come on," said Scarlett. "We're nearly there now. It's just the other side of that church." Scarlett pointed in the general direction of Trippington Abbey, which was brightly lit by the blazing sun. Its roof was missing, as were the once magnificent stained glass windows. Derelict abbeys, which hadn't been used for many decades, were prone to having no roof nor windows. The stone structure looked all the more wondrous for merely consisting of moss-encrusted walls. Beyond the abbey, which also had a spooky, haunting feel to it, there lay a set of thick-set wrought iron gates. The gates were padlocked, though AA battery-sized beings had no problem flying through the rungs. The gates protected an overgrown path which wound its way through a similarly overgrown garden. The garden was a blaze of colour, and the flowery scent could have been described as overpowering. "This is it," said Scarlett. "It's beautiful," said Emily. "Yeah, what she said," mumbled Kyle. Kyle wasn't very good at saying words like beautiful. Lovely, pretty, and charming were also words that sounded best spoken by girls, he thought. Kyle was happier with words like wicked, beezer, belter, and those manly growls that nobody knew how to spell. The fairies approached two sets of blue and indigo irises, which flanked what looked like an entrance. When they got closer, they were prevented from going further by a fairy who had the physique of a sumo wrestler and the intellect of a cowpat. It was the Royal Guard.